chapter 1 and verse 1, let us hear God's holy word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Go ahead and look at chapter 9, starting in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us now through your word. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Some of you may already be familiar with one of the greatest stories of wisdom that has ever been told. The story goes like this. One day, two mothers brought an infant son before the king. Both women claimed that the son was hers. As a matter of fact, both women actually said that not only is this child mine, but the other mother killed her own son by rolling over on the child and suffocating him to death in the middle of the night. And this and the other woman stole my son. You can imagine the dilemma that the king faced. It was his responsibility to figure out this case. And realize, this is long before maternity and paternity tests, long before DNA testing. And so what was the king to do? How would he figure out who was the mother? For just a second, put yourself in the king's place. What a difficult dilemma. What would you do if you were charged to figure out something like this? Well, the king responded with incredible wisdom. And he called for a swordsman to come forward out of the court. And he said, this is what we're going to do. We'll have the swordman slice the infant in two and give one half to this woman and the other half to this woman. Well, as you can imagine, the first woman blurted out, fine with me. If I can't have him, I don't want her to have him either. And the other woman screamed out in horror, saying, no, no, please don't do that. Just give him to the other woman. And the king looked and said, of course, I had no intention of killing the boy. The second woman is the mother. Give the boy to her. And when the people of the kingdom discovered how the king acted, they were blown away by his incredible wisdom. They were so impressed that they actually feared the king, because they said, who can have such wisdom as to peer into the souls of men? Well, that king was none other than Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. And that story that I just told you is found right in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon was blessed with supernatural wisdom. When he became king of Israel, God told him that he would give him one thing, anything he wanted. And Solomon, amazingly, did not choose indescribable wealth. He didn't choose military might. But he asked God for wisdom. And God was so delighted with his request that he granted it to him. It is said that Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived on the face of the earth, other than God's own son, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to have wisdom like Solomon? To know what to do no matter what situation you face in life? To always have the guidance to know what the right thing is to do, and when to do it, and how to do it. For just a second, I want you to pause and just think how your life would be different if you had that kind of wisdom. Incredible. Well, the reality is that we can have that type of wisdom. But where do you get it? Where do you find such wisdom as this that can guide and navigate us through the minefields of life? Well, our text this morning answers that question in two ways. First of all, it answers it in verse 1. The second word, the Proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs. But before I go there, I want to ask you to remember something. Do you remember when Dorothy's house was lifted up off the ground and spun into the sky by that terrible Kansas tornado? Her little farmhouse spinning somewhere over the rainbow until it landed smack dab right in the middle of Munchkin Land. Do you remember that? Killing the Wicked Witch of the East. Do you remember the peppermint-colored socks protruding out from the house? And all of those little cute munchkins jumping up and down, dancing, singing, and celebrating? The Wicked Witch is dead. And Dorothy stood there, she and her little dog Toto, taking all of this in. Not caring about the witch that was dead, not caring about the Munchkin celebration, but all she wanted to know was how to get home. And after a visit by the Good Witch of the North, and all the Munchkins together began to sing, "Follow the Yellow Brick Road." For the Good Witch told her that no one knew the way, except possibly the Wizard of Oz would know how she could get back to Kansas. And Dorothy says, "Well, where can I find him?" And they sing, "Yeah, follow the Yellow Brick Road." And you remember that road starting right where the house had landed, in one small spot, and then it spiraled out like a big bullseye. And they said, "If you follow the Yellow Brick Road, it will lead you right to the Wizard of Oz. But if you veer from the Yellow Brick Road, it will take you anywhere but Oz." And so Dorothy followed the Yellow Brick Road. The book of Proverbs is sort of a yellow brick road to wisdom. You see, in verse 1, that we have the superscription. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." This verse 1 is just like reading the title page of a book. Think about it, when you come home and open up a brand new book, the first page that has writing on it is the title page. It tells you the title, the author, where it was published, when it was published, and so forth. It sets the context for everything that you're about to read. Well, here's the title page. It tells us, number one, the title, Proverbs. Secondly, it tells us the author, Solomon, son of King David, who is at this time king of Israel himself. But it also tells us The type of literature that we're going to read, Proverbs is not only the title, but it's the type of literature. What is a proverb? A proverb is a short, pithy statement of general truth. Now hear this, because we're going to need to know this in the upcoming weeks. These are statements of general truth. They are not God's promises to us. Don't read them that way, or you will be severely disappointed. Solomon is observing life and saying that these things are generally true. But not in every instance. There are exceptions to the rules. But he says, by and large, this is the way life works. Pay attention to it. Listen to it. It will increase your wisdom and make your life better. Proverbs. What is a proverb? A short statement of pithy truth. We use proverbs all the time. I actually want to play a little game with you this morning. I'm going to start a proverb, and let's play fill in the blank. I'll go like this, and you all answer me. How about that? Okay, you think, oh, this sounds really difficult. Well, we'll see. Let's start with this proverb here. I think most of you have heard this. Ready? You can't teach old dogs new tricks. Very good. You've heard that one before. Excellent. Now, that's generally true, right? All it simply means is that the older we get, the more set in our ways we tend to become. That's generally true. Not always. For instance, I taught a man who's 65 years old how to use an iPod this week. No problem. He picked it up very quick. Old dog, new tricks. He may not say he's an old dog, and I'm getting some looks already saying, 65, it's not that old. Come on now. Well, you know what I mean. Old dogs, new tricks. How about this one? All that glitters is not gold. Very good. And it simply means that it's not always the best looking thing that's the most precious thing. My wife says that about me all the time. Here's one that's very close to my heart. Ready? Practice what you preach. Very good. Now, isn't that interesting? I haven't met a preacher yet that does that perfectly. But come to think of it, I haven't met anybody that does that perfectly. And all it means is that if you're going to give advice to others, you better be following it yourself. One more. This may be the most difficult one. No pressure, but the people at East Franklin got this morning. So here we go. Nothing ventured. Okay, very good. We're on the same page. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. It simply means that if you never try anything, nothing will ever happen. And you see what I mean, proverbs, statements of truth, put in very simple and clever, pithy ways. Isn't it amazing the lessons that are packed into such short sentences? And so that's what we have before us, a whole collection of wisdom proverbs to increase our own wisdom and to help us live a better life. And so, as I said, Proverbs is sort of a yellow brick road that leads to wisdom. In verses 2 through 6, Solomon sets out the purpose of the book. Not only do we have the title page, but we also have the purpose. Look with me, verse 2. Why did he write this? For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Basically, what he's saying is by following these proverbs, it will benefit your life. If I could boil all these statements down into one sentence, it would be this: the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to impart wisdom to live a better life. Now, if I asked you this morning, how many of you want to live a better life? I guarantee every one of our hands would be up. And so Solomon says the way that we live that better life is by following these proverbs. Think about it. It says, for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. How many of us can think back through our lives? The failures, the mistakes, so many things that if we could go back, we would change and do differently if we had this kind of wisdom. So what Solomon is saying is you're better off even when you're young, even if you've made some mistakes, and maybe you're still facing the consequences of those mistakes. Better to get wisdom now than put it off till later. And likewise, in the very next line, verse 6, some of us may say, well, you know, I've lived a pretty good life. I've been pretty wise. I've made good decisions, and that's paid off for me. Well, lest we get too proud, look at what it says. Verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. And what he's saying is it doesn't matter how wise you are, you're never as wise as you can be. Your cup is never overfilled with wisdom. As a matter of fact, the truly wise never graduate from the school of wisdom. You just never do. Do you want to be wiser? Do you want to live a better life? Do you want more joy? Do you want to be more like Jesus Christ? Well, very simple. Follow the yellow brick road to wisdom. How do you do that? It's this, real simple. Read Proverbs. Study Proverbs. Meditate on Proverbs. Memorize Proverbs. And here's the most important one of all. Apply Proverbs. Put them to use in your life. For whatever reason, not long after I became a Christian, I memorized one proverb. Proverbs 24. A sluggard does not plow in season, and when harvest time comes, he looks and finds nothing. It's a simple proverb about laziness and procrastination. Two things my grandmother nailed me on every day of my life growing up. And when I memorized that proverb and put it into action, it completely changed the way that I lived. And for the last 12 years, that one proverb has guided so much that I've done. I've been in college for 11 years straight now. You don't make it that far by procrastinating, putting things off to the last minute. It's just like a farmer, right? What farmer in his right mind says, okay, it looks like it's mid-July, I guess I should get around to planting my corn. Sluggard does not plow in season. The harvest time comes and he looks and finds nothing. Incredible benefit from reading these proverbs. Now I'm going to help you do that in the next 12 weeks. But here is at least part of our yellow brick road to wisdom. Follow the yellow brick road. But before I end, I want to highlight one more aspect of the yellow brick road to wisdom. After Solomon introduces us to the book, he gives us the purpose of the book. He brings this prologue to a grand climax crescendo in verse 7. He says, yeah, these proverbs will help you gain wisdom and live a better life. But here's the most important part. Don't miss it. Where does wisdom begin? What is the source of wisdom? Here it is, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Flip back with me to chapter 9, the few verses that we already read. Let me reference them here. Chapter 9, verse 10, we hear the same statement almost. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are synonymous through the book of Proverbs. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Is he promising that you'll live a long life if you follow these? No, it's not a promise. But generally, the more wise you are, the longer you will live. And if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts. That's an interesting statement in the Bible, the fear of the Lord. Well, what does it mean? We see this phrase used 14 times in the book of Proverbs alone. It's one of the major Old Testament references to our position before God, to fear Him. Does that mean that we should be afraid of God? Some of us were raised in religious contexts that we were taught to be afraid of God, that all we ever heard was God's judgment and God's wrath and His anger that He's going to pour out upon us. And that was never balanced with the fact that God is loving and gracious and merciful and forgiving. So on one hand, no, we should not be afraid of God. But there is something to fearing, being awestruck by God's sovereignty, of His power, of His glory. It should make us step back and just say, wow, that's the God we serve. There's three words that I want to use to describe the fear of the Lord. They're very simple words, but I think when we take them all together, it gives us an accurate picture of what it means to fear the Lord. The three words: relationship, reverence, and reliance. Very quickly, let me go through these. To fear the Lord means to have, number one, a relationship with the Lord. Secondly, reverence for the Lord. And finally, reliance upon the Lord. Let's start with relationship with the Lord. If you're looking at chapter 9, verse 10 again, look at this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Here we have a reference to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the coming one 1,000 years before He showed up on earth. And what Solomon is saying is, if you want wisdom, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, this really means that it's impossible to have true wisdom without a relationship with Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Him. And so let me ask you today, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's a relationship that is initiated with Jesus through faith and trust in Him, and it's maintained through a life of obedience, commitment, worship, and prayer. Relationship. Do you have that? It may seem strange to fear the one that you have a relationship with God. But if we think about it, it's exactly the way human relationships work. For instance, let me confess to you this morning. I fear my wife. I do. Why? Because my wife knows me, and I know her. I fear her because if she wanted to, she could destroy my life more so than anyone else on the face of the earth. You all smile and laugh. It's the same thing for your spouse, too. Why do I fear my wife? Because she knows me like no one else. Think about it. If I didn't know my wife like I know my wife, I wouldn't fear her at all. But because I know my wife like I know my wife, I fear her. And the same thing is true with God. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you really fear the Lord? Not only is Jesus the only way to eternal life, He's the only way to wisdom in this life, and the only way to live a better life. A relationship with the Lord. Secondly, the fear of the Lord means to have reverence for the Lord. It's more than simple respect. A reverence encompasses, sure enough, respect, but but also awe and admiration and adoration, worship and commitment. A lot of people pay lip service to God, but far fewer pay life service to Him. If we revere God, we don't just show up for worship on Sunday morning, but we worship Him and we follow Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day. Do we really reverence the Lord? Relationship with the Lord, reverence for the Lord, and finally, let me conclude with this, reliance upon the Lord. To fear the Lord means that we rely on Him, which it sounds good. It sounds easy, but it's not. Because who do most of us rely on? Ourselves. And it's no surprise, we've been taught that since we were little kids. How many times have you heard, believe in yourself. Just trust in yourself and everything will be okay. That's one of the greatest statements of heresy that's ever been said. And I hear it by school teachers, I hear it by parents, I even hear it in the church. It should never be said. It's completely opposite of what God teaches us. Don't rely on yourself. If you want your life to be a mess, rely on yourself. But if you want it to be good, rely on the Lord. God wants us to rely on Him, and this is a good barometer for which we can measure our fear of the Lord. The reality is that it goes completely against our sinful human nature. Most of us rely on our own intellect, our talents, our abilities, our hard work. It's a lot easier than to rely on the Lord because that requires faith and trust and diligence. It's a lot easier to trust in other things. Especially in our culture today, we revere anything but God. We revere movie stars, sports figures, celebrity personalities. Think about it. When was the last time you saw Jesus appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated or People magazine? Do we really rely on, revere, and have a relationship with Jesus Christ? As I conclude today, let me just say this. We all fear something. We do. But most of us fear the wrong things in life. For instance, many of us fear failure. We're so afraid to fail at something that we do whatever we can to prevent that. And that winds up screwing us up even further. We fear failure, but few fear the God who never fails. Many of us fear abandonment, but few fear the God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Many fear loneliness, but few fear the God who never leaves us alone. Many fear pain, but few fear the one who endured the pain of the cross for our sake. And many people in our day and age fear death, but few fear the God who overcame death by rising on the third day. The great devotional writer Oswald Chambers once said this, listen closely, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. But when you don't fear God, you fear everything else." What do you fear? Or rather, who do you fear? If you want a better life this morning, you need wisdom. And if you want wisdom, we have to fear God. Read, study, meditate in the book of Proverbs. For this is the yellow brick road that will lead us directly to wisdom and directly to a better life. And so I say, along with those cute little munchkins. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that speaks so clearly to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit continue to apply these words in our lives today. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.